Welcome to Your Career Cure podcast, where amazing professionals and entrepreneurs share their inspirational stories so you can get a dose of a happy career, happy life. And now, your host, Gail Tolstoy Miller.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of Your Career Cure. I am so excited. And today we have John Davis. Yes, John Davis is an internationally known keynote speaker, comedian, fight director, stuntman, college professor, artistic director, and action hero. Yeah, you've heard that right. Action hero. He has traveled extensively throughout the world, speaking to audiences of all ages and backgrounds in 28 countries and over 4,000 live performances. Wow, that's a lot. John inspires you to set and reach your maximum potential and awaken your inner action hero. After the tragic events of September 11th, 2001, John dedicated a great amount of time bringing entertainment to the soldiers overseas. On six USO tours, John performed more than 100 shows and has taken his comedy to even the most remote bases in both Iraq and Afghanistan. That is amazing. John, thank you. What an interesting background. I don't think I've ever interviewed someone who's done all that. Comedian, stuntman, professor, artistic director. Why don't you fill in the audience how the heck did you get there? Like what?
Well, all of those things are encompassed into the word action hero. To me, thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. My mindset had to be kind of altered by an early experience of my life that made me step into the role of being what I call an action hero. You see, the word action means create motion, start momentum, or to do something. And the word hero is someone who achieves an extraordinary result in service of others. So my goal in life is to be of service to others and achieve extraordinary results in their life.
And what was your early experience that helped shape that?
Well, when I was 22 years old, I had a dream of being a stuntman for film. As a kid, I wanted to be Errol Flynn. I wanted to do all the swashbuckling sword fighting movies and all the rope swings and all that stuff. And at 22 years old, I was well on the way. I had already started training. I was going for my black belt in Taekwondo. And I was really strong and very healthy. And a friend of mine asked me to come over to his house and help him unload his van, which was filled with 80-pound boxes of clay. He was a professional potter. And I climbed up into that van, and the very first box I picked up that 80-pound box, I turned it to set it down, and my upper body separated from my lower body. My spine split into two, and I collapsed to the ground. They took me to the doctor. The doctor said, John, you have a condition known as spina bifida occulta, and what happened today with that extra weight, with that twisting action, you literally split your spine into two and pinched off your spinal column. And I was paralyzed. And the doctor told me that, you know, you can give up on your career at 22 years old. You're not going to be a stuntman. You're not going to be a fight director. You're not going to do anything physical in your life. So start rethinking that now. And while I was lying in the hospital, somebody gave me a book called The Tao of Jeet Kune Do by Bruce Lee. And in there, there's a whole section on mental flexibility and being able to leverage your present moment in a positive way and work your way back. And I was able to, over the next 30 days, I was able to get my toes to move. And by the end of the first 6 months, I was able to stand and walk. After a year, I was back to what I would consider normal conditioning, but not as strong as I was before as a stuntman. And that a year and 6 months, I was standing on top of a three-story tower looking down at the fall pad, and then I jumped.
That is an insane story, and that's very inspiring. So basically, you were a miracle. Like, they weren't expecting that at all.
They were not expecting it at all, but the thing is, I believe that if someone can tell you what your circumstance is, but it's you who has to accept their belief. And so when someone tells you you can't and you believe it, then you can't. And when someone tells you you can and you believe it, then you can. And for me, staying flexible in that moment, I was able to then break down all that subconscious belief and bring it down to this present moment and act here and now, because you know, that giant goal that I wanted of walking and being a stuntman was a goal that was sitting out there in front of me. But goals don't magically appear in your present moment. But goals happen, and big outcomes happen by leveraging the present moment and making small, successful present moments here. And then that experience will surround your present moment, because your present moment is the only moment you live.
That is really true. That's amazing. So was there ever a moment that you sat there and like felt sorry for yourself saying, you know what, I can't do this? Or did you always say to yourself, oh no, I'm not accepting this, I'm forging ahead? I mean, what was the process?
I contemplated suicide because everything in my life to that point was built to the idea of being a stuntman, being a fight director, being that physical career and that physical person. And my friends, you know, it's interesting. When you get into a situation like that, you suddenly discover that you have a network around you. You know, you know, out of the woodwork comes your family, your friends, the people that you kind of take for granted when you're everything's going fine. You know, suddenly I had people coming out of the woodwork helping me and inspiring me. And when that book was given to me, some people think it was almost cruel for a guy to give someone who couldn't do a physical career a book by Bruce Lee, the Kung Fu stuntman, right? Right. But he knew that in that book was something that I could relate to and that I could learn from. And so bringing that to me was the impetus for change, was the impetus for movement. And it was really the impetus for hacking my mind to a place where I don't have to listen to I don't have to look at it as an adversity, as something that stops me. I look at it as something that is just something I have to deal with on the way to getting what I've chosen.
So did you do a different path to get there, or did you just like double down on, I'm assuming you had like physical therapy. How did you get there?
Well, we started with physical therapy. I did a lot of chiropractic. I had doctors coming in and manipulating. But then I also got into yoga.
Oh, yeah.
And basically working towards strengthening my lower back muscles, starting with yoga and stretching. And then I shifted into actual weightlifting and using resistance on my lower back muscles. Right now, the only thing that holds my back together are the muscles in my lower back. Because my back is, I never had it fused. I never had it repaired in any way. So it literally is held together by the muscles that hold it there. So I actively, even today, I'm 57 years old now, I actively get up. I walk every day. I do yoga every day. And I also meditate to keep my mind in a space of calm, because tension is carried in the back. And so I keep myself into that space every day. But yeah, I had some really dark times, and it was by leaning into the system around me of people that were there to help me, and then taking control of my own experience and not letting the doctor telling me I couldn't stop me.
Right. You know, when you speak of yoga, I love yoga too. It's helped me in different times of my life, and I still do it. But when you said the back, my favorite is the pigeon.
Mm.
That is amazing for the hips, the back. It's great.
Yeah.
So did your doctors, you know, when the doctors saw your outcome, what did they attribute that to? Did they think it was your mindset that had a big play in it? Or was it just...
You know, it's really interesting you asked that question, because no one's ever actually asked me that question. The doctors kind of turn a blind eye to me. You know, they're like, they were wrong, so they didn't want to see it. and so for me, it was like I had to walk away from them. I had to get out of, because anybody who's in your life who's limiting you because of their, number one, their own belief. But a lot of times, like, a doctor themselves will tell you one thing, and if they're wrong, they kind of lose a little face and a little power in their mind. And so they don't like to admit it. And so for mm-hmm. me, I had to realize the people who were telling me things I couldn't do, you know, were doing so probably out of the goodness of their heart. But in reality, their belief was different from mine.
Right.
And I had to change my belief, not theirs.
So after that, so you're healed, you get better, then you become a stuntman. I mean, how does that, like, did you have fear? I mean, I can't imagine doing that as a living, even though that was your dream, but knowing you've been through all this, Well, how did that happen?
It's great because the thing is I never lost the goal. I never took the goal off the table, even though they told me to take the goal off the table. I never took the goal off the table. You see, I said earlier about the idea that something else is going to come up that's going to seem contrary to what you're trying to achieve. And you can look at that as something that's going to stop you and choose to believe that. Or you can look at that as just something that came up because you have to address it to get what you want. So still keeping the goal out there. Because if you choose to stop, you're going to stop. So for me, to get to that place of being a stuntman, I had to start actually working towards doing those things as if there was not a back injury. I had to go into it and I went to the United Stuntman Association. I jumped off towers and I went to the Society of American Fight Directors and I started doing fight direction and learning choreography and different fighting styles. And then I put together a comedy sword fighting show called Hack and Slash, which was a comedy sword fighting stunt show that went all over the world, including, as you said, Iraq and Afghanistan. And we did over 4,000 live shows with that. And there were weeks during that time that my back would get slightly out of whack. And I would have to, take a few days off after a weekend or something like that, or after a few days of work, just to keep my back in place. But I did a Hack and Slash show for 21 years and never missed one single show. I never missed a show. Because the thing is, you can achieve anything in your life if your mind says you can. I developed something known as the 5F system, and mm-hmm. the 5Fs are cool because that system was developed directly out of my back injury. Because I had, when someone's telling you you can't, the first thing that they listed is a whole bunch of fear, and fear is based in your fight or flight response, and I had to figure out how to hack that.
Cool. Very cool. I mean, I think, it's interesting as you're saying all this, it just reminds me of everyone that feels stuck in their career, right? Mm-hmm. Or their business. And they have all these self-limiting beliefs saying they can't do this. And here you are paralyzed and you never lost sight of your goal and you went and you achieved it. I mean, I just think that is amazing. It's inspiring. And, on the day to day, so many people make just little excuses. They have their health and something inside of them, their fear, right, is holding them back.
Right, right. I said those 5 F's. The first of the 5 F's that I talk about is fearlessness. Mm-hmm. You got to be fearless. Now, the way you become fearless is interesting because the first thing you have to realize is what fear is, because people don't know what fear is. I ask audiences all over the world just to give me a definition of fear, and the rooms go silent. And then somebody in the back of the room will say, false evidence appearing real, which is the standard answer you hear out there. But I don't buy that answer because that fear does not come with evidence, because fear scientifically is an emotional reaction to some future event that may or may not happen with you focusing on it being a negative outcome. It's literally negatively focused on uncertainty. And so if you can remember that it's just an emotional reaction to uncertainty, then you can go, oh, it's just an emotional reaction to uncertainty. The concept of labeling it as a fear, you hear the expression, I'm in fear. Well, you are in fear until you label it. Once you label it, then it's external and you have control over it. So actors in Hollywood, when they go, or even actors on Broadway, they've trained for months with their lines to get their lines in place. And sometimes they get on stage and they forget their lines, right? And they're trained to actually exhale. And the reason they're trained to exhale is because when we get into any fear response, the first thing that happens is we feel like we can't breathe. Mm-hmm. But it's not that we can't breathe. It's because our body has gone and gasped right. in a whole bunch of air, filled the lungs, right? And on the primal level, it's because we want our lungs to have enough air to run further and faster. But the actors are trained to exhale and relax their muscles, and their brain turns back on, and their survival response shuts off. So when you find yourself in one of those stuck modes in your business, your career, and you're feeling stuck, but you can notice that your shoulders are tense, and you're holding air in. Exhale. Right? Just exhale. Fearlessly get focused. Number two, second F. Fearlessly focus. Find something to focus on positively. And because I'm sure most of you who are listening have probably no negative people. And you probably recognize the fact that those negative people always have something to be negative about because they're focused on a negativity. And if you can get yourself focused on a positive, what happens is your subconscious mind kicks in to help you achieve whatever you focus on. So they're seeing more negative because they're focused on negativity. So they're seeing more negative. Here's the way I can prove this to your audience, what I'm saying about the subconscious mind. There's somebody in this who's listening to this, and maybe you yourself, Gail, have bought a car in your your life. And before you bought that car, you chose the kind of car you wanted. And you got it in your head. And before you went to the store to buy that car, did you notice you started seeing that car everywhere?
Yes.
We would drive by you on the road, and you would start to see it, right? You consciously chose something. Your subconscious mind started showing it to you. So for me, I had to set my fears aside about what anybody else was saying. I had to get focused on my positive outcome. I'm going to be a stuntman. Now, if you think about the focus of that, it's really interesting. You know, if you look at it from a various spiritual perspective, Buddha says, what you think you become, you create your world. Gandhi said, you must be the change you want to see in the world. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in God's name is granted. But Moses said God's name was I am. So I am stuck creates more stuck. I am stagnant creates more stagnant. I am creating new experiences creates something entirely different. You know, so you have to stay in that place of I am, this present moment. Because your subconscious mind is filled with beliefs that have been given to you by parents and friends and circumstances. And if you're consciously accessing from that subconscious mind without actively changing it here, then what happens is you're reliving and staying stagnant in that stuck place. But if you can change it by actively making successful, small, present moments here and now, then your life changes. And that's huge.
So I am awesome. I'm awesome. And I'm gonna create something amazing.
Right. And just remember this though.
It's gotta be specific.
I am wanting, I am needing, I am hoping, I am trying creates wanting, needing, hoping, and trying. Don't think of inactive words. Think of words that are creative. You know,
right.
I am enjoying, action. I am getting right.
Like action. Hoping is kind of like a beggar. It's a beggar right. word. It's like, I hope, right? I hope it happens rather than it will happen.
Right.
I will make it happen.
One of the things I had to do was I had to actually start looking at the words I was using and what I was saying about my present moment. Because if you think about it, there's only one moment you live, and it's this present moment. You know, you can't go to the store last Thursday right now, and you can't go to the store next Thursday right now. There's only one moment that you're living that you can go to the store, and it's right now. So you've got to stay in this space of right now. But here's the key. You can get fearless and you can get focused, but you have to believe in your outcome. You have to believe in the goal you've set. You have to have faith. Fearlessly focused with faith, right? So you have to believe it. And once you get that belief behind it, then now you've got power.
Yeah.
You've got this core element. For me, I believed I was going to be a stuntman. I believed I was going to create a career that would let me do anything I wanted to do. And so I got that belief behind it. But the next one's the hard one. It's the toughest of all of them. And that's follow through. You've got to actually take an action. You actually have to do something fearlessly, focused with faith, and following through. Because if you're not taking an action, you're not putting anything into motion. And goals without action are simply daydreams.
Yeah. Like talk is cheap sometimes, right?
Right. Exactly. I'm like, exactly.
I mean, the talk to yourself is important, but it's cheap when you don't do anything about it. Right.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, that giant, we said this earlier, that giant thing that's out there that you've set, you're not going to experience it out there. You're going to experience it here. So the only way you experience it here is to do small, successful present moments here that are congruent with it. And it comes to you. Most people sit in this moment, they struggle looking at their daunting goal going, I got to get to that. And it feels so big and daunting, but that's not the way it works. Stay here and just do small little things. When I got out of that bed, the first thing I did was start to flex my back muscles. I just literally was flex my back. Couldn't move my legs, right? And then slowly I was able to flex my hip muscles, which was something different. and then my legs, and then my toes, and then I could move my ankles. But you had to do it one small incremental step at a time. And now I've done, think of all the things I've done. I was in a movie with Brad Pitt and David Duchovny. I did sword fight shows all over the world. You know, I've been a college professor, a stuntman, a fight director. I've worked with the guys who did Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and Highlander. You know, I climbed Machu Picchu. I climbed Mount Sinai. I've been in the Blue Lagoon of Iceland. I've been all over the world and done amazing things, all because of exactly what I'm telling you right now. You keep your mind present moment and you stay in the successful present moment now, the experiences are going to come and surround you.
That's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. Your family and your friends, what was their reaction when you said, I'm still going to do this? Like, this is going to happen for me. But meanwhile, you're sitting there paralyzed. Did they, inside their head, they're probably saying, oh, God, this is so not happening. Like, he's delusional. But we don't want to say anything because we don't want to break his heart. He's always going through this. So maybe they said, remain silent. I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Like, how is your support system?
Many of them did remain silent. Many of them were very caring and tried to talk me out of things. But I decided not to dismiss the naysayers and surround myself with yay-sayers. Because I needed yay-sayers. I needed people who were supportive of what I was creating. The thing is, you are the creator of your experience. And if you want to have that next level of career, that next level of business, you got to realize that you are the one who creates it. You know, people aren't doing it for you. You actually have to be the impetus, the thing that's starting in your life and in your experience. So I had to make sure that I did not surround myself with naysayers and surrounded myself with yay-sayers. Arnold Schwarzenegger once said, he loved it when people said to him, no one's ever done that, because he knew he was going to be the first.
Right.
Right.
It pushed
right?
him.
So, it said, yeah, no, nothing's going to stop me. That's how it was for me. I literally just said, I'm going to do whatever I want. And then, you know, after I did all those stunts and all those things, I discovered that the things that I had learned were more valuable than anything else I'd done. Because now I would finish a show and I'd sit in the audience and I would be able to help people through their problems and get them to the next level of their experience. I can't tell you how many people tell me I saved their marriages and, you know, their relationships and got them to the next level of their career because of the fact that I sat after a show and just talked them through their stuff. And I discovered that was more important to me than anything. So I said, but I still want to do cool, fun things with whips and nunchucks and all that. But how do I combine the two? And I created the Corporate Action Hero, which is what I do now, where I'm a keynote speaker that goes into corporations and businesses and help people achieve that next level of success and awaken their inner action hero.
That's awesome. So who are you a stuntman for? Like, so you're a fill-in, right? Like, you do the stunts for the actors?
Oh, yeah. In my stunt work, I would come in and then say there was an actor who was doing a stunt and, the high fall. Most insurance companies won't allow an actor to do a high fall.
Okay.
In fact, and insurance-wise, once they go over 4 feet, you're now into stunt level pay, which is something entirely different. And if you have an actor doing something over 4 feet, then their stunt pay is higher than a stuntman's pay because they're on a bigger contract.
Right.
So, you bring your stuntman in, and a lot of insurance companies won't let actors do certain things. So we would do that. A lot of my film work, especially, and stage work, is my expertise in weapon styles. So I would go in and I would be the whip guy or the nunchuck guy or the Western gun spinning guy, and I would train them on stuff. But sometimes you'd see, like, in a fight scene, you might see a guy come in who's got a bullwhip, but you never know the guy's name. You never get his character name.
Oh, right.
But the villain. That's me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's me. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I fill in for a lot of that. So I've done that. And I've also been the guy who, showed somebody how to break bottles over their head and various things of that nature.
So I feel like there's a part missing here, right? So you're paralyzed and you become stuntman. How? And I know, your F's, the steps, the 5 F's, but how did you got better? Then how do you transition to becoming a stuntman? I mean, that in itself, even if you're healthy, to become that and go into Hollywood and and do all that stuff is difficult enough, I'm sure. How did you transition into that? How did you do that?
It's a great question. The thing that's interesting is, remember I said earlier about your conscious and subconscious mind and how things get shown to you, right? So because I was focused on being a stuntman, people started to come into my life who were aligned with that goal. So for instance, I decided I wanted to be a stuntman. Next thing I knew, I met two of the top fight directors in the world and worked with them on a project. And at the end of that project, they said to me, John, we see a lot of talent in you as an actor and a combatant. We want to give you our training for free. So I went and I worked with those guys for free.
How did you meet them? Like, how did that even...
I was doing the Maryland Renaissance Festival. I was doing an actual Renaissance Festival, and I met them there.
Okay.
Well, they took me off. One of those gentlemen created an organization known as the International Order of the Sword and Pen. Now, what's really cool about that organization is it brings together fight directors and stuntmen from all over the world to every other year teach a workshop. And all these fight directors, basically, they get their travel paid and they get their food covered. They don't take a fee for it. So they all come together just to share knowledge. Well, that got me involved with working with the guys from Highlander and Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. And I suddenly got connected into that market. So when you're at, when you're serious,
hello?
To recognize the pathway and to follow the pathway.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yep. So what you've accomplished is absolutely incredible. So my hat is off to you.
Thank you.
I'm in awe. And I think that a lot of organizations and my audience can actually, you know, gain your insight and maybe get motivated. What I'm hearing right now is manifestation, right? Mm-hmm. We all talk about, right? That's what I feel like you're saying is that you need to manifest your thoughts. Right. It all starts up here. Your thoughts create your outcomes. And then you just have to
implement. Which is proven science.
Yeah. The secret. It sounds like the secret.
And you get out of the secret and you get over to noetic science. Noetic is Edgar Mitchell was an Apollo astronaut who had a transcendental experience coming back into Earth and then created noetic science to figure out what it was he experienced. And in noetic science, they've actually measured thought waves. So they can actually see the thoughts being transmitted.
Right.
So out into this energy, you're seeing our thoughts. They also discovered that those thoughts have effect on material matter. And so your thoughts are actually creative. So what you think, you do become, just like Buddha said.
Yep.
The question is, what are you thinking?
Right. Well, then you have to thinking? Right. So like, I feel like if you're having a negative thought, that's your reality. But then also if you have a positive thought, that's your reality. So if you're thinking a certain way, just switch it, flip it. I also think it's important to like feel your feelings too. Like don't deny it. Like if you,
oh, absolutely.
Bad,
absolutely.
It's okay to be right.
Yeah, your feelings are the things that tell you, or they're tools to show you what to avoid in some way, right? So we got through four of the five Fs. Let me tell you the last one, because this actually ties it in. The last one is flexibility. When something comes up that seems contrary to what you're trying to achieve or a negative outcome, you know, you have to realize that that's your moment to stay flexible. You have to stay completely flexible in that experience, because you know Bruce Lee talks about being like water. You know, you pour it into a cup, it takes the shape of the cup. You pour it into a teapot, it takes the shape of a teapot. You push it down a river and it flows around the rocks and it crashes through the rocks eventually, but it does not stop. It keeps motion. And so water, when it's flowing in nature, is filled with oxygen and life. And you take that same water and you put it in the puddle and it becomes stagnant and poisonous. And so you've got to realize in your life, if you're allowing things to stop you, you're stagnating and you're getting stuck. But if you will keep yourself flexible, I had to look at those things that came up, those adversities, and say, okay, that's something I need to deal with to get to my goal, but keep my eye on the goal and keep that motion. But here's the tough part about that. Sometimes something will come up like that and you'll go, ah, you'll mess it up. I'm so dumb. And you'll smack yourself on the head and you'll lose your hair like I did. You know, and you smack your head. But the thing is, I had to come to a place where when I mess something up and it didn't go the way I wanted it to go, instead of taking the next moment and wasting it on self-defeating talk and beating myself up, I would just say, well, that's silly because I'm going to that.
Right. You know,
that's silly. I'm going to be a stuntman. So nothing could stop me, no matter what. And that's okay. The goal with everything. Everything I've ever achieved in my life, nothing could stop me because I'm the one who gets to choose.
Right. Awesome. I usually ask, like, what's your worst career moment? But I feel like, was that your worst?
That was my worst career
moment. Okay, I don't want to assume. I never want to assume, but I'm, okay, we covered that one. Let's talk about COVID. Like, how do you think COVID's changed the landscape?
Well, it's interesting you say that because as a keynote speaker, you know, I'm used to going into rooms with large numbers of people and, you know, speaking and yelling and screaming and laughing and joking, you know, and when COVID hit, that all went away. So I got to look at my COVID experience from a very unique perspective because I had my five Fs. COVID hit, all my business went away. I said, oh, okay, I'm going to stay flexible. I'm a keynote speaker. What can I do during this time? So what I did was I upped my video game. I got a green screen behind me here, right?
Oh, that's not your brick wall?
Nope, that's a green screen back there, baby.
Well, right? Mine's real, okay? This is my brick wall.
I cheat. Well, there you go. Nice. So I got my green screen. I got my lighting. I got my cameras. I got my teleprompter. I got all my stuff, and I started building that out. I started creating virtual programs. So I started doing virtual keynotes, and I got my certification as a virtual presenter. And then I went on and I started creating online courses, which are not done yet, but they're in the process. I'm writing more on a book right now. So I took the time and I adjusted the way I did things. And because of that, COVID's going to end for me and I'm going to have new products and new services and I'm going to go back to speaking live. The year before COVID, I traveled over 200 days speaking. Mm-hmm. And this past year, I didn't travel hardly at all. I'm going to Nashville this week for a speech. But, you know, now I probably don't have to because I don't think the virtual programs are going to go away anytime soon. I think there's going to be some companies that have discovered they kind of like them.
Right. You know? They could save money.
Right. And I think more people are going to start working from home now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
We figured out they could.
Good. So you adapted. Awesome. And you thrived. All right. Yeah. So we've made it to the $50 million career cure round, okay?
Okay.
Disclaimer, you're not winning $50 million, but just answer it like you might. Okay.
<ma'am.
laughs> Okay. First question. How would you cure? What would be the one cure to cure either people's careers or entrepreneurships, their mistakes? What would it be?
One cure that I would say is, I've kind of said it already, get very present moment. Don't get invested in things that are going to come down the road that are negative, and don't get invested in things that have happened to you in the past that were negative. Get very present moment positive. That's the one cure for everything.
Okay, great. Now, you want to improve corporate America. What would be the one cure you would give in order to improve it?
I would abolish the competitive model and put it back into the values-based model. I've watched values-based companies expand and I've watched competition-based models devolve into cancer and companies go away because of it. So there's still a lot of companies out there who pit their employees against each other. And I think that's so detrimental.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good. Last question. What would be the one cure that you would get people unstuck in their careers or their business? How would you get them unstuck if they're stuck?
First, I'd say exhale. Take a breath and relax. Breathe, right? And then I would say get seriously focused on what your goal is and then just take small present moment actions. You don't have to get mired into the enormity of what you're trying to create. Stay small present moment and just stack successful present moments behind you and everything will change.
Awesome. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. You were an amazing guest. You were inspiration and motivational. And I know the audience will absolutely gain great information to make the necessary steps so they can improve their career or business. and become the best version of themselves. Is there anything you want to promote at this point? I will have all your information in the notes, but if there's anything you want to promote, let me know.
Well, the only thing, if you want to find out more about me, go to corporateactionhero.com. You'll find my LinkedIn there. You'll find my Facebook there. You'll find all that stuff there. But I want to give your audience a free gift. And let me say this. When I say free, I mean free. There's nothing on this page that will sell you anything, and you don't even have to give me an email address. This is a place you can go and download the 5F workbook. And what that book does is it takes you through your process of achievement. It shows you how to go through the 5Fs and brings you out the other side more successful and thriving. So I will make sure that you get that link, Gail, to put in your show notes. And because like if I say it here, it's just it's.
Yeah, no, prolonged. Don't even bother. But at least say no to look out for it. That's important.
Right, right. Okay. And so good. That's all I really have to promote. Just go out there and do good things.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, John, for being a guest. You were amazing. And folks, don't forget, happy career, happy life.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget, happy career, happy life.